Once upon a time, the kingdom of Maine Pop Girls was flourishing, with every year new pop princesses taking their seat at their throne and reigning over their faction of the land. The stans that were living in the countryside were well-fed, taken care of, and dancing in the streets every day. Whether we were getting drunk with Kesha, lighting up with Rihanna, or twerking with Miley, working with Britney, or roaring with Katy, there was no shortage of food supply for the stans to sink their teeth into. However, somewhere along the line, the fountains in the Maine Pop Girl queendom dried up. Maine Pop Girls ended their reign or were slain by dragons, but there was no one to come take their place, no successor in sight. Fans were left dying from the plague with no music to cure it. Record labels were left depressed and broke, and girls, gays, and theys everywhere were asking, is this the end of the Maine Pop Girls as we know it? In this episode, we're going to look at the institution of the Maine Pop Girl Empire and define what a Maine Pop Girl is, who the big Maine Pop Girl titans used to be, who our very few current stars are, and what Maine Pop Girls can try to carry this torch that is a dying out flame. Today at PCU, you will get your degree in Maine Pop Girlology with an emphasis in Dua Lipa. So students, take your seats, get excited, because Pop Culture University is beginning. Popular, I know about popular. It's not about who you are or your fancy car. You only ever who you were. Popular, I know about popular. It's not about who you are or your fancy car. You only ever who you were. Popular, I know about popular. And all that you have to do is be true to you. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for joining me today. I want to first introduce our very special guest, Adam the Flop.
Oh my gosh, hey.
Hi, Adam the Flop. What is up?
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me, Gorge.
Oh my, no, thank you for coming. You're like the music icon on TikTok. Some would say you are the Scooter Braun of TikTok.
Yeah.
You kind of have that vibe.
Like a Scooter Braun vibe?
Yeah, like I would like fear you. If my career was on the line, I wouldn't want to be on your bad side.
Yeah.
You would lie, cheat, and steal for your clients, for your girlies, I mean, to get them to number one.
You see how rich Scooter Braun is? Like,
I know. One time me and Adam saw Scooter Braun in person.
Oh my gosh.
It was really wild. I saw Adam's face go just pale white when he realized Scooter Braun was standing right next to us.
I was speechless.
Yeah, no, it was wild.
We were just talking about him.
Oh yeah.
And my first reaction was, oh my gosh, he heard everything we just said about him.
You guys, this is the funniest story ever. So Adam, if you don't know, on TikTok, his whole account is about the music industry and just the charts and the whole psychology of that whole world. And I love his account. So of course he gets into the drama of Scooter Braun on his account. I do on mine as well. So we're at an Ava Max concert, who we stan, of course. And she's about to perform, and it's her LA show. So when the LA shows happen, everyone comes out. They leave their hiding in the hills. They come down to the flats with the commoners and they...
All the avatars.
Yeah, right. They come from near and far. They fly in. And we are just like getting so hyped for this show. I know she's about to bring me on stage because her team told me, and me and Adam were making a joke that like, what if Scooter Braun is here? That'd be so funny. And me and Adam want to be the next Scooter Braun and Scott Borchetta.
Yeah.
Who are the men
who... That's literally our vibe, yeah.
That is our vibe. But those are the men who stole Taylor Swift's masters from her.
Yeah.
So, of course, we were saying it like a negative way. And if we were them, we would be like the gay-coded, like, supervillains. Like, we stole her masters.
It's giving, like, Neville Pepperman.
And no, it really is. We were like, we would be absolutely positively evil if we were the next Scooter Braun. So we're giggling like this about how evil he is. And then I see Adam's face go pale. And Adam, as a Latino, is never pale.
I was terrified.
Yeah, and I'm like, what happened? Like, I assume, I know something just happened. So I like look around, did he see something? And then wearing a hood and a ball cap, I just see the eyes of Scooter Braun. And I'm like rubbing shoulders with him.
Yeah.
Because we're that close. And we have the fear of God in us that he just heard us talking
shit
about him.
He had to have.
For sure. I was like, well, my career is over. That was like my third day in LA. And I was like, scoot around, just heard me talk shit about him. And yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're really out here immersed in the main pop girl world. And we are kind of depressed because me and Adam, we've stanned all these girls our whole lives, as you guys have. We all see those iconic photos of like the 2010s VMAs where it's all like the 10 girls like arm in arm. They're embracing each other. It's Demi and Rihanna and Katie and Beyonce and Adele and Kesha and Gaga and Ariana and Nicki. So many girls to choose from. And they were all serving something very specific.
Yeah.
They were painting the world like colors back then. They were really giving us the moment, the excitement, the fanfare that we need to obsess over them. And now, me and Adam, you know, we aren't 13 anymore, but we still want the main pop girls in our lives, but there just doesn't seem to be as many. Have you noticed a dip in pop girls?
Yeah, and it is really sad. You were right in your intro when you said, like, every year there would be one, maybe, like, honestly, a couple new main pop girls.
Yeah, and they
wouldn't
just...
In, like, the early 2010s.
And they wouldn't just debut, they would take over.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, their debut era would be, like, number one. Like, they would have a long, like...
Yes.
Era with lots of singles and everything, whereas now it's even like the big main pop girls now, it's they struggle to have big eras with longevity.
Yeah, it's almost as if back in the day before they debuted, they were like sitting in the rocket launcher, like waiting to launch, and then they were preparing, they were in artist development to get shot out into like hyperspace already. They weren't giving us a TikTok girl who just learned to write a song in her bedroom that week. They were giving like someone who was dedicated to the art of pop and like studied the greats and were already thinking about all their eras and their whole careers. And now it is diluted in a sense, and we're getting this whole new crop of girls. So we kind of just want to talk about, is this the death of the main pop girl? Is it the death of pop music? What's going to happen? I kind of do think the concept of a main pop girl will die soon.
Yeah, I think so too. I think especially, I mean, obviously there's going to be like Taylor and Ariana who are going to be like long-lasting main pop girls.
Yes.
But the concept of like a new main pop girl is going to not be a thing for much longer.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's such a like a rarity these days that it actually does happen for someone.
Yeah.
So we kind of want to get into, before we talk about how we've lost these iconic main pop girls, how they have been voted off the main pop girl island, and who could potentially carry the torch, if anyone, we want to talk about what is a main pop girl. So my definition that I wrote down last night was, a main pop girl is a pop songstress who has achieved the pinnacle of relevancy in the pop game, who is in the highest league of pop divas. Being a main pop girl is like being in the Premier League of soccer. Like, it doesn't get any higher than that. You are a main pop girl. They're in the highest league of pop divas, and they're a mainstay throughout the ever-changing music climate. The music climate will always change, but they don't. That's the keynote of a main pop girl. They've hemorrhaged themselves so deeply into pop culture that their impact can never truly be erased. I would say main pop girls do have to kind of like defend their title, like a WWE heavyweight champion. They kind of have to defend their title every year with their new songs, but... Once you have achieved main pop girl status, even if you lose that title, you tap out to some supreme main pop girl and you kind of like lose your spot. If you become a main pop girl once, your impact never truly gets erased.
You'll always be remembered, and you will be not only like a pop girl, but like a celebrity.
Yes, for sure. But there's some girls who haven't reached main pop girl, so they are in jeopardy of being totally forgotten.
Yeah.
Do you agree? And what's your definition?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think a main pop girl is someone with a lot of longevity. You know, they can't just have like one hit pop off on TikTok, one radio hit. They have to have multiple hits across multiple different eras.
Yeah.
They're really just like their eras have to be remembered. And back in like the early 2010s, I think what was unique about the pop girls was that like they did each have like their own identity and their own brand.
Yeah.
So they have to like kind of like showcase who they are and their identity, as opposed to just like people hearing their songs being like, oh, this is just like a song that's like popping off on TikTok. Like, they have to become bigger than their hits.
Yes.
Which is a hard thing to achieve, especially like nowadays, I feel.
That's so right. And I love how you said the word showcase, because you can hear a song, but that's not a showcase. Like, you really need to like give us a whole package and like showcase us something.
For sure. And there are some newer developing girlies having like breakthroughs that I think, well, a few. Yes. Not a lot, but I think that they're doing a great job at that for sure. And we can like get into that if you want.
Yes. I think they are like fighting against a stronger tide than yeah. back in the day though, because they're not starting with the team and the very like meticulous planning. They're kind of starting of like, oh, I had one song pop off on TikTok. Let's trudge through and like try to like Trojan horse myself into the industry now because it's was just sprung upon them.
For sure.
So yeah. I feel like they're fighting against a lot, but let's look at the history of Pop Girls. So students, here's a history lesson here for the conception of a pop girl. I would say the first generation of true pop girls, if we're going back to when the mass media first started, like the invention of like radio and TV, we're talking about like Diana Ross, Donna Summer, Cher, Madonna. Then the next generation, I would say, gave us Whitney and Mariah. The next generation going into the 90s would be like Beyonce, Britney, Christina. Mm-hmm. The next generation into the early 2000s would be like Avril, Gwen Stefani. Pink. Who else? Oh, yeah. Pink. It's Pink. yeah. And then the 2010s would be like Kesha, Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, and Rihanna. But notice how only a few names on that list remain.
Yeah.
And I definitely want to get into who remains and why I think it's so impressive. But you recognize all those names, and that's the trademark of being a pop girl. Like, you'll never be forgotten. But who of those girls are still really yeah. doing it much? Not a lot. So who do you think are the current day main pop girls? They are currently on the roster, have the championship belt in their hands. Who's the main pop girl today?
Obviously, I mean, T-Swift is like the mainest of the main pop girls for sure.
Totally. Main character of Planet Earth, the time main called character, her.
Yeah. We have Ari, Avi, she'll always be a main pop girl.
They can never make us hate her.
Yeah, they can never get rid of her.
I will say, speaking of hate, I'm a Selena Gomez hater. I give her critique sometimes. I can't lie. She's a main pop girl.
She's a main pop girl for sure.
She is so masterful at being a main pop girl, especially because everyone said she would fail.
And her streams are crazy.
Yeah. I have to give her all her props, a round of applause. Like,
oh my gosh,
she is.
I've like never heard you like praise her before. This is crazy.
No, I love her. JK. I love everyone on this podcast. These celebrities are like my best friends. That's yeah. what I say. So I critique them, but I don't ever hate them.
Yeah. Selena definitely main pop girl. Like Miley for sure.
Miley, yes.
And they'll always be remembered. I think Miley, especially, she's just like such an icon.
Such an icon.
And even when she did have that period of time where she kind of was like not really having hits, mm-hmm. she was always remembered for the bangers era. Then she like came back with Flowers and like iconic.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm thinking who else?
Also just like she was a mainstay no matter what. Midnight Sky and Malibu, sure they weren't massive smashes, but mm-hmm. pop culture was very aware of her.
Oh, for sure.
Like, she was still doing her damn thing.
Yeah, because that's the thing, too. Like, to be a main pop girl, you have to make such an impact on pop culture. And Miley did that throughout, like, the Disney era and then yeah. after the Disney era, too, with bangers. Like, she is so legendary.
Yeah, we're so, like, irrevocably bonded to her. Mm-hmm. Because, what, Hannah Montana started when we were 5? Like, she's really been carrying us through life.
That's insane.
Yeah. And I love her so much. Like every yeah. time I see her. And it is weird. I am growing a fondness for Hannah Montana again. I think in 2013 I was like, Hannah Montana's fucking dead. That bitch was found dead. I'm doing Molly and smoking weed now.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I miss Hannah Montana.
Loki, those songs were good too, you know?
They were so good. Yeah. I listen to them at the gym all the time. I like her song Still Good. I like Life's What You Make It, So Let's Make It Rock.
One of them literally makes me cry. The one that's like, always remember. How's it go?
Yesterday's gone.
That one.
Yeah, that one makes me want to like commit suicide. Anytime I hear it, I want to unalive myself.
But
yeah, no, it really is sad. But Hannah Montana was out here having a bigger career than hits. A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of the main pop girls now, like they.
A fictional girl was yeah. here having quite the and illustrious then,
like,
career.
Ashley O, too. Like she's forever a main pop girl. Love
yeah, her. Ashley O, she. She, you know, made us ooh and ah. We love her. Her
she
and
ate
that
one song.
That purple wig.
Yeah.
I would say other main pop girls of today are Doja Cat, Beyonce, still reign supreme. Yeah. Billie Eilish, Olivia Rodrigo, Shakira is still reigning, I would say.
For sure. Yeah. Dua.
Yes. Oh, for sure, Dua. We're doing an emphasis in yeah. Dua Lipa here. So
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you consider Camila a main pop girl, like, still?
I thought you were going to ask me if I'm gay.
Well, that's, I would love to know that, too. I just didn't want to, like, you know,
usually,
assume anything.
Growing up, when,
like,
people say, can I ask you a question? It was that. Are you gay?
Like, I don't mean to be, like, offensive, but, like.
Don't get mad. And then I'd be like, I don't know. Sorry, what was your question?
Would you consider Camila a main pop girl?
Oh, I have something in store for Camila in this episode.
Okay.
So you will find out.
Okay, good.
Camila, I love her, but we're going to do some proper dragging in this episode.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Get
so
ready.
I'm a Camila. I'm like a hardcore Camilizer, but.
Camilizer.
Yeah. I love her. So I'm excited to talk
about
her.
I've never heard that. That sounds like someone who would be like mountain, like. Backpacking on a mountain hike, like a Camilizer.
Well, they were like the harmonizers.
a Camilizer. With, I like, feel like you're about to go milk cows on some shack on top of a mountain in Ireland. That's maybe, what a Camilizer sounds
maybe
like.
Maybe I'm like pronouncing it wrong. I don't know, but like.
That's how I read it too.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of people on that list aren't really necessarily new. The only new people within the last 3 years on that list, I would say, was Olivia Rodrigo.
Olivia Doja, it's, maybe. I guess she like blew up in like 2020, but then like.
Yeah, true.
The newest are like Olivia Doja.
Yeah, you think back at like Dua and you're like, wait, she debuted with New Rules in 2017?
I think like Tate McRae could be considered a main pop girl after like her recent success.
You'll have to plead your case at the end of the episode, but, when we talk about who is going to carry on this torch. But now we need to say, not just what the definition is, but what are the necessities of a main pop girl? And this may trigger some of you stands out there. You may not agree, but I would say you need four out of five of these credentials or you're not a main pop girl. As we're arguing here, who's a main pop girl, who is not.
Yeah.
You might think they are worthy of that title of the utmost relevance and adoration, but I don't think your faves are a main pop girl like you think. Do they have all of these five traits? But they will fight to the death. So let's just lay out the ground rules here. Five necessities for being a main pop girl. Number one, the backbone. You need good music, of course.
Yeah.
That is the spaceship carrying the whole voyage on your way to pop superstardom. Good music.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two, commercially successful music. And this is where people get mad.
Yeah. You need the streams. The stands are like, it's not about the streams. Why are you so obsessed with charts? But like, you have to be, you know?
Yeah. As Katy Perry, I think, said, numbers are sacred. Math doesn't lie.
Oh, wow. So. She's a good person to talk about for this.
Yeah. We'll get into her about how we've lost certain pop girls. never to be seen again. But yeah, Billboard charts, awards, at the end of the day, it's an industry. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the real world, kids. It's an industry. Students, the real world is capitalistic. So you need the numbers, you need the stream, you need the impact, or honestly, your label's going to drop you if you're not making them money at the end of the day. Therefore, you can have another necessity on this list of the five. Number three, I would say, is cultural relevance. Your music can make you famous. I think Madonna said this. Your music can make you famous, but the press makes you a superstar. So it's not just about the music, as some people would say. A pop girl, the root word of pop, if we're in like a reading seminar class here, an English class, the root word of pop is popular girl. You need to be the it girl out on the scene. And yes, I do think that's a little fucked up because it should just be about the music and the art. Sure. But it's a heavy burden to hold when you want to captivate the public. Yeah. It's not all fun and games. People are going to come for your life. And we've seen girls get their names dragged in the press, whether it's for them being an advocate for the LGBTQ community. I don't know anything about that community, but they're an advocate for it.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, but...
For sure.
And I'm just joking.
And like the whole idea about press, like that's why they have PR teams. And that's why like these girlies are attending like Fashion Week in Paris, you know, like they want to like.
That's a good point.
Come through with the fits to like get attention on the internet, you know.
That's so true. It's every little detail of how you get attention. And I feel like as an average scroller of Stan Twitter, I never used to understand how people were captivating my attention, but it is small things like that, like going to a fashion show in Paris.
Yeah.
Just keeping your name in the news cycle.
Fashion was like so important because it's like how these girlies are like going viral and stuff.
Yeah, you know? It's another form of art too.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a whole brand. The music's at the center, but the fashion's a big part of how people get inspired by you as an artist.
For sure.
So, but yeah, just there's a lot of ways someone can get their name in the media. We've seen just this year people be body shamed, fat shaming, skinny shaming, saying you're ugly, dissecting your love life, slut shaming you, saying you're a homewrecker, saying you're a serial dater, psychoanalyzing you as an individual who represents a larger demographic of society and putting all of their agendas onto you. The parasocial aspect of a pop girl is vital. And that is how it really starts in the media. As you're who we go to for escape and entertainment, you're also who we go to gossip about and dissect. People kind of debate me on this. Like, do you think that comes with the territory or a pop girl should be able to live in peace?
I mean, I feel like they should be able to like live in peace, but that's just like not how it is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, same. In my soul, I want them to live in peace, but I mean, we've seen how that goes. Like the people dominating the headlines or dating this person or that person, blah, blah, blah. They just blow up.
It's an industry, like you said.
Yeah, it's sad. We need like a pop princess protection program that will run.
Call Demi.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she has the training for it. She was in the movie for it. So the parasocial aspect gets me into the fourth necessity of being a pop girl, and that's having a stan army.
Yes.
Stans are the most important. We're like veteran stans. We've served. How has serving impacted you?
Honestly, serving as a stan is like the hardest thing you can do because I feel like stans get so much hate. But at the end of the day, everybody is a stan. Like if you're a straight man, you're a stan of probably someone. Like sports or like whatever. Yes. Or like, you know what I mean? Everybody is a stan of something. Just because we're stans of pop girls doesn't make us crazy.
That is such a good point. And actually, thank you for calling that out, because there'll be men who like get naked at a soccer game when they score a goal and like windmill their junk around. But when I cry when Taylor Swift performs All Too Well, I'm crazy.
No, literally, like the Grammys is like the same thing for us, like as the Super Bowl, you know what I mean? So
yeah, it's the Super Bowl for us. We're so excited for the Grammys too. We'll definitely be talking about that on our podcast and on this podcast here. So I'm so fucking excited for the Grammys. Also, our current main pop girl is SZA for sure. I can't believe we didn't say her.
She's
before.
Because I feel like a lot of people would be like, no, she's like not pop, she's R&B, but she's had so much crossover into pop to the point where like she is the main pop girl.
For sure.
Yeah.
She's synonymous with the Grammys. She's the most nominated this year. Yeah. So love her. Just wanted to give her a shout out. We love you, SZA.
Love you, SZA.
But yeah, a stan army. A deep, true, and genuine relationship forged between you and your millions of adoring fans. You can have fans, but doesn't mean they're stans. There's a big difference.
Oh, for sure.
Between me and you.
Yeah. And that's sort of dying too, is that like people who have fan accounts, they're usually for pop girls who debuted in like the early 2010s. I never come across fan accounts from like newer girlies. I do sometimes, but like
that's a good
there's
point.
There's like not a lot, you know?
Yeah, it's someone should study how a pop girl like really gets just an average Joe to like dedicate their lives to them so much, because it's not just the music. There's people like Nicki Minaj, the Barbs will hunt you down and slight and like cut your throat open.
Yeah.
If you say anything bad about her, they made a whole AI generated world for her. The Swifties are like some well-organized artillery. It's insane.
It's their full-time job.
Yeah.
For a lot of these people.
No, seriously.
To be a Swiftie or be a Barb.
Legit. On their resume, they should put, you know, in this fandom.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you need a difference. And all the girls today, they have fans.
Yeah.
But the proportion of stans is much lower.
For sure.
So you need an army of loyal stans. I feel like we're going through the Regina George list in Mean Girls, where they're like army of skanks. You need an army of stans to be a main pop girl. But yeah. Mm. Stans get so immersed in your world that they're not just casual listeners. They're obsessed. That pop girl is the team that they root for, as you were kind of saying before. The jersey they wear, the hill they'll die on. If you're a main pop girl, you're one of the most present factors in your stan's life.
So true.
It's actually weird to think about. Like, the main pop girl is like the Tamagotchi for the stan.
Right.
And it's weird just thinking of yourself as a commodity. There's a big almost like commodification or like dehumanization of being a pop girl that I think we can do a whole episode about.
Yeah. I think it's just so fun, like, having an idol, though.
Like, I know!
Like, Camila Cabello is literally the background on my phone. Like,
oh, my God. Ariana Grande is the background on my phone. Oh my God. We're so annoying. It is so fun having an idol.
It's so fun, like, to just have someone be like, oh, I love this picture of her. I'm setting this my background.
And it's so crazy because, like, they could be AI. They could be fake. Like, we never see these people in person, but, like, their just being gives us a reason to exist.
Yeah.
I was living for what Ariana drops, like, the last decade. Any outfit she would wear, anything she would do, and I don't even get why. As you with Camila, yeah. I'm sure.
Any sort of content that Camila posts, I'm like, we have new content from her, and I just get, like, so excited. I'm like, post notifications on.
You met her at Coachella, right?
Yeah, and she was so nice.
T.
I was shaking when I met her, though. I was like, she was, like, one person where I was like, do I go up to her or not? But, like, you stand them so hard that, like, you just have to.
It's, like,
you know?
Once in a lifetime.
She was right next to me. I couldn't just not say hi to her.
Yeah. Were you nervous that maybe her team would, like, be a little pushy or she was, like, the whole phrase, don't meet your idols?
Because she was there with, like, people, you know? And I was worried that they'd be like, oh, come on, like, let's go. And I didn't want to be, like, annoying, you know? Because she was getting a lot of people going up to her at Coachella during that time. Good. Do you remember? Like, a lot of people were just going up to her and Sean because they were, like, both at Coachella.
Oh, yes,
And I didn't want to be, like, annoying about it, you know, but I just genuinely stan her. And I'm sure a lot of those people who went up to her don't even stan her, but, like, I stan her, so I had to.
Yeah, they would take a photo with her and the caption would be, like, I'm not a fan, I just want the fame.
Yeah.
Like that one person did with Liam Payne.
Yeah,
they posted a photo and she was like, I'm not a fan, I just want the fame. But Camila was nice, right?
Yeah, she was so nice. So, like, down to, like, take a photo, and it was very brief, but, like, yeah.
She has the whole package. She's so everything.
Yeah.
You chose a great one to stand.
Yeah.
I would say the last number five here is at least some sort of longevity. I'm not saying they have to be around forever, but cemented enough that you are an ever-present mainstay factor. You can't have one era, because then you're just kind of seen as like a souvenir in the pop world. You're not seen as a whole mainstay.
For sure. Yeah. And the longevity, I feel like there needs to be like a, I would say like 5-year mark where you sit back and reflect on a pop girl and be like, okay,
totally.
Is this pop girl still very memorable? I feel like Dua Lipa is a good one to reflect about because it's been what, like 6 years since New Rules. And so now we can reflect and be like, okay, she's done a great job at being a main pop girl.
Yeah, I think she's done an amazing job as well. I think Doja Cat's getting to that point where she's no longer new. She's super established.
Yeah, headlining Coachella.
She's here to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I was going to get into another section about the highlights of what they've done to maintain their main pop girlness, but I think we have discussed that as we've gone through the necessities. The next portion will be, how have we lost some of these beloved main pop girls and they suffered main pop girl death? The worst moment in a stan's life is when their main pop girl suffers main pop girl death, and then they're just there wondering, walking around like a wasted zombie, as Katy Perry said in one of her songs. So once you do have the title of main pop girl, though, you'll always have the title. You just won't be a current reigning anymore. Everyone I'm about to mention on this list, we love, we have deep admiration for, respect for. They have given us so much. They will be icons forever. They're just not the current reigning. They're seen as this alumni guard of icons that, like, are now mentors to lead the next era. So nothing but respect, nothing but love, but it is worth noting how their career kind of shifted out.
For sure. So, I'm excited.
I think the first way we can lose a main pop girl of four that I'm going to go through is they simply stop releasing.
Yeah.
I think examples we see there would do with Britney Spears. Mm-hmm. She had a decent hit with Glory in 2016. She could have kept going.
Yeah.
She stopped. Of course, crazy factors were...
Yeah.
Her crazy father and the horrible mother, death to all of them. I'm just kidding. But Britney Spears, yeah, she kind of just stopped releasing, but she's twirling happily ever after in her kitchen with her fake knives, and we're happy for her.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, I would say, also.
For sure, yeah.
She's not a... She was releasing fervently in the 90s,
yeah.
Completely dominating. Definitely like would be 2000s. Seen as a main pop titan. She wasn't even just a main pop girl. She was a main pop titan.
Yeah, but and, for sure will always be an icon, remembered for sure.
And then she hasn't really released for like 6 years at this point. Yeah. And then before that, didn't really release for like a while.
There was a long gap before Caution, yeah.
Yeah, she never truly fell off. She never truly flopped. Yeah. She just kind of stopped.
And it's not like there were any hits on Caution either. So it's like,
yeah. That's true. True. But every year she defrosts. She becomes a main pop girl from November to December every year.
For sure.
So number two, I would say the bond was never forged deep enough between them and their fans. And the music itself was no longer good enough to save them. Mm. So it's kind of like these people who are capitalizing on, I wouldn't say the luck, but I would say the lightning in a bottle, meteor strike hit of their songs. And they're on this super good streak and it's going great. But they don't necessarily have the like innate, like profound skill to meld to the new era or keep up with current trends. They're just kind of riding the high of what's currently hot.
Yeah.
And I would say that's Katy Perry.
Yeah.
In the peak of what was quintessential 2010s pop, she ran the whole show.
Yeah.
And then once that switched to we're getting more, I guess when she was starting to fall off, we were getting more hip hop, trap, R&B. It was no longer bubblegum pop that was out. So was Katy Perry.
Yeah. She like tried to keep up with the trends a little bit with Witness.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it just, like, did not work out for her.
Yeah.
And then she was, like, trying to go back to, like, just, like, pop music, dance pop music. But then by that point, I feel like just the gays were, like, listening to her, and she was becoming just, like, less and less mainstream with every release.
Yes.
Which is sad.
She was definitely becoming a legacy artist by that point.
Yeah.
But I will say, of course, she's such an icon. She was a pop titan as well. And her fall off, we could do a whole video about because it almost seemed like impossible. Like, it's like Caesar dying. Like, how the fuck did that happen?
The teenage dream era with there being like six top 10 hits.
Yeah.
And then like Prism, those huge eras. And then like it's stopping after that. It's like so sad if you think about it. But she'll always be remembered for sure. Iconic. Gave us so many hits in the 2010s, and I still listen to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, we're the two only people who heard Smile.
Yeah.
So you guys should check out her song Smile. But
yeah.
I have this crazy theory about why I think Katy Perry fell off. I think she fell off because she never forged a deep enough bond with her Katy Cats. There were Katy Cats, but they never deeply knew her. They knew her from her fun sounds and her fleeting hits, but they never knew her for her. She was never autobiographical. She was, I hate to say it, but a little bit of like a dress up, like a doll.
Yeah.
A lot of times she was in the cotton candy wigs and the color of her hair, which we love. We are obsessed with the whole California Girls video and that whole era and the teenage dream, but we never knew Katy Perry. So once the hits stopped hitting, she was out.
It's so interesting though, because I feel like in the 2010s, like Katy and Gaga were at the same kind of point. Like they were both like equally as famous, I feel. So it's interesting now where Gaga can still get a number one hit, but Katy can't. So I don't know. Like I feel like we can do like a whole separate video on that too, because it's just like
I would love to.
But I do feel like Gaga has given like a lot of, you know, identity and like, like, you know, she's like the gays like are obsessed with her.
The world building in those first few eras was so insanely strong. The bond that she was forming so deeply with the little monsters and the message she was sending, like she was going to war, not obviously to war, but she was taking the bullets for us.
Yeah, she was being a bit, I guess people could say she was being controversial, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's an element too, is it like maybe a little bit of controversy is what you need, but not too much as we're seeing now with Lil Nas X.
Totally, yeah. See, that's a good point too. And I love just like having these discussions with you because like this neural pathway fires and then we can make a video about that and that and that.
Yeah, I know. I'm like thinking about so many different things right now. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know. I'm just going to like spontaneously combust. But yeah, I will say Lady Gaga, who started at the same time, she did a better job at connecting with us. And that's why, even though she's not such a mainstay in pop these days, she can come back and get those hits. But with Katy Perry, it's like we never really knew her in that way because her singles were just so danceable, enjoyable, yeah, and fun and for the crowd. And we thank her for that. But then there's, yeah, people like Taylor, who her songs, let's say like the Speak Now era that dropped the same year as Teenage Dream, there wasn't necessarily a giant hit from there, but it was so deeply personal. We got to know her to the core. We, yeah, bonded with her intensely. So it was, I don't want to say a slower burn because she was so astronomically famous, but just a slower burn in getting to know her more.
For sure.
I think someone who does a great job of balancing a pop hit to stay on the top of the charts and lets us into their life is Ariana.
Yeah.
Because she will make these big, big pop songs, but there'll be a sprinkle of autobiographicalness.
Yeah. She'll adjust like what's going on in her life or like what people are saying about her. Yes. As we're seeing with Yes And, but it's not like the whole entire song. It was just like, who gives a fuck who's DI ride, you know?
Yeah. She's masterful at making herself elusive yet very known.
Yeah.
Because we have songs like Thank You Next where she calls out her ex's names, but yet, yeah, it's still just so like dancey, and, yeah, you can just get down to it, and then you have no tears left to cry. That was a response to the tragedies that she went through, and songs like Ghostin' that,
yeah,
led us so into her life. But she's still seen as like a fun frilly dancey pop girl
for sure.
So she's really masterful at drawing the line. So I will say someone else who never had a deep bond forged with their fans, and then the music changed, they changed, and it wasn't good anymore, was Demi.
Yeah, for sure. Because Demi will always be famous, and she was like so famous when she was on Disney Channel. But I feel like she was, a lot of these artists, like, it's hard for them to become bigger than their music. But with her, it was like she was like bigger than her songs. You know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, it almost started that way, yeah, which is an interesting point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's wild, because she almost did have that like controversial, like tabloid Scarlet letter on her very early.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that did impact how she even made the music.
And her eras also didn't really last long too. Like, she would have one hit on her albums back in the day, one, maybe two. But these other artists were serving like long, like year long eras or 2 year long eras, you know? So
yeah, she was definitely trend jumping a bit, because, you know, yeah, she started with the pop punk, and then we go into things like a ballad like Skyscraper. Then we go into things like Cool for the Summer and,
yeah,
Sorry Not Sorry. It was definitely trend chasing. And then she tried to capitalize on the pop punk thing again. But by, yeah, that point, her fans were like, I don't really know you.
And yeah, also by that point, when she tried to, I guess, like make like pop punk music again, people were over the pop punk resurgence. Like, there was, totally, a bit of that resurgence in like 2020, 2021 with like MGK, Olivia, yeah, Rodrigo. But by the time like Demi had like started that with her last album, like, people were just over pop punk. And, you know, like that music was just like less and less mainstream. And yeah, I mean, that's personally like why I don't really vibe with her latest album, because, totally, I just like don't want to listen to pop punk music, yeah, right now.
It seems very contrived in that way. It yeah, doesn't seem super authentic. But I will say, I love Demi. We can make jokes about her being, you know, this and that and the froyo of it all. And
for sure,
the non-binary phase of it all. But we love her. And I guess the lesson is just don't chase trends, because by the time you chase the trend changed.
For sure.
So, and like, that's a lesson,
she's
students.
She's given us a lot of hits, like, iconic, for sure. Totally. Yeah.
Heart Attack, oh, so gosh, iconic. I think someone who's in this danger zone of we don't know them enough, but their music is hitting so hard, but what happens when that stops is Dua Lipa. But she's, yeah, smart. She just did an interview with Rolling Stone. Dua Lipa is such an insanely smart gal. Like, I don't even want to say calculated, because I don't like how men like use that word to put females down, but like, she's just so methodically planned out, and she's smart. In her new Rolling Stone interview, I think she's anticipating this, because the title is Dua Lipa is done being a mystery. So basically, she's gonna let us more into her life with this next album. Apparently, we're gonna get to know her more while still dancing on the dance floor. They said the wildly ambitious pop star is embracing freedom and fun both in her upcoming album and in life. As she kicks off her new era, she's going to let us into her dreams, her anxieties, and what she stands for.
That's good, because she definitely is someone who I feel like people just need to like know her personality more. And like, you can't really like go on an interview with like Jimmy Fallon now and like expect that to be the, your way of, you know, showing your personality and people like understanding you. You have to show that through your music. You have to show that through your social media.
Yeah. It has to be a common thread.
Yeah.
For sure. So she's so smart. Just the fact that she knows what's going to happen before it happens and can stay on top of things. Pop genius. I'd say the third reason a pop girl, we could lose them, is they age out. Now, I'm saying this in the way of like just the industry and the misogyny of it all. I don't agree with this. I'm such a stan of pop girls forever. I don't care when they release. I love them. But we have Taylor Swift in her documentary saying things like, I'm 25 right now. I think this is the last time I'll be able to grab onto this success. You know, the industry will bring pop stars out to pasture at 25 to shoot them. Or
yeah.
She was on Jimmy Fallon and she referred to herself as a 32-year-old geriatric pop star.
Yeah.
Which is just so annoying that the industry does that, but it's true. The record labels, even if the fans want it, like we want it,
yeah,
they're not going to push them as much at that age.
I feel like Taylor is someone, though, who's like really changed that because...
Yes.
Because now a pop star can like enter their 30s and still have hits and stuff like that. But it is really sad because like back in the day, like pop stars would enter their 30s and then get like less promo and like people would just like stop caring about them, which is like so sad.
Yeah, then, they would definitely fall off a little faster.
Yeah. And then Taylor has like only gotten bigger as she's aged. And I think like, I mean, we can even look at pop stars like Lizzo, who became famous when she was like 32 and she's, I think 35 now.
Oh my God. Whoa.
So yeah, I think it's like cooler now that like there are these pop stars in their 30s, like taking off, like still having big eras, because it's sad. Like back in the day, like I feel like Kesha's a good example of someone who like, once she entered like her late 20s, less like early 30s, people stopped caring about her, which is sad because like she still makes bops to this day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that now as like Dua Lipa, like she's like, I think 28 now, and it's like Doja Cat's, I think she's like 28 as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as these pop stars like enter their 30s, I think they'll still have like really big careers.
T, and what you just said, I loved, and it made me think they definitely are, the pop girls of the previous generation are staying longer. Do you think that has something to do with the fact that maybe they're taking up airwaves space and that's why it's also a little bit harder for new main pop girls to come through because we're already so bonded to the older main pop girls?
I just think it's so harder now for pop girls to like newer pop girls to like reach main pop girl status because of social media and like short form content creation, because like they really have to make sure that people on the internet are going to like their songs and that's what's going to make them mainstream.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if that like answers that question, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I've thought this before, but I thought it was like a problematic thought, so I suppressed it. But I was thinking maybe it's harder for us to have new main pop girls because main pop girls of the previous generation, like the 2010s, they're staying longer than we've ever seen them stay before.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, girls in their 30s are taking off in their 30s and taking off in their later 20s. So I feel like maybe the whole playing field has changed, but I want my main pop girls to stay. I don't want them to leave.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with it being a little harder for the new girls to come up because the veterans are staying on the airwaves and they're not being shoved off, as Taylor Swift would say. You know, she's a 32-year-old geriatric pop star. That's what she said on Jimmy Fallon, but I'm happy that she's on like unprecedented ground of like, no, that's sexist. I'm staying. And I love that.
I love that. She's so iconic for that.
Yeah. I would put other people in this group that were maybe aged out, as you would say, as Pink, Christina Aguilera, Jennifer Lopez. Mm-hmm. I will say someone who's also on unprecedented ground who I'm obsessed with is Madonna. She gets so much flack, so much hate. I think Candace Owens, I don't even know why I'm saying her name, the fucking devil. She said it's time to put Madonna in a home. If I see Candace Owens in the street, it's on site.
Yeah.
I should probably cut that out. But it pisses me off how people treat Madonna, and I love that she got the last laugh because she has a certified hit right now with Popular with The Weeknd. It's so good. Her verse on it is so good, and she's 62,
she's,
I think.
She's cute, yeah.
Fuck yes.
Yeah, and also, like, what does Candace Owens have a take on, like, the main pop girls? You know what
anything.
I mean?
Like, yeah, no, yeah. Seriously.
On anything, but, like,
if
yeah.
she hates, like, pop like, music, culture.
Like, pop girls, pop culture, like, uh-uh.
Yeah, she needs to be put down. Number four, as a reason to why Mean Pop Girls, we could lose them, is their music is still good, but their cultural relevancy has slipped a bit. People aren't really paying attention to them anymore, but they're still making bops, just no one's really like listening to those bops. In that category, I'd put Avril Lavigne. She's her cultural, she's not necessarily aged out yet. She's still trying to do that whole pop punk thing. Her last album is called Love Sucks. That's very like angsty, you know, vibes, but the cultural relevancy just isn't there anymore.
For sure.
Sia.
Yeah.
Kesha.
Yeah.
We've lost all those girls because of that.
Yeah.
So I want to get to a category called Who is on the Chopping Block? I think these pop girls, they're current main pop girls. They still have the title.
Yeah.
But the next time they go to defend it, they may lose it.
Yeah.
Camila.
Camila.
She's on the chopping block.
Yeah. And I would agree with that as a Camila stan. Like, I think that, you know, she's had so many hits and so many radio bops. Like, Bomb,
which
she
hits.
Released 2022. Like, so many streams on Spotify.
Totally.
But I think she is someone where, like, she has to be like very strategic with her next era. And it's all about, I guess, the music. Like, obviously it has to be good, which I think it's going to be good. She always serves.
She's never not served in three albums. It's no longer like luck. She knows what she's doing.
For sure.
It's not a fluke. She's a genius.
I just think she needs to be strategic with social media, especially because that's the main way for people who have kind of forgotten about you to just like think about you again, and for there to be, I guess, anticipation for a next era. And
I agree.
Yeah, I think she has potential for this next era to be like really big. And I hope that it all works out for her as a stan. Because
me too.
I do not want to say that she like lost her main pop girl status. You know what I mean?
Me either. I don't want all the 5H fans who are Camila haters to have the last laugh.
Yeah.
Because Camila is really that girl.
She is. She's so iconic. She serves looks all the time. Her Instagram is like my favorite thing to look at because she's just like so hot. Like, and her music is really good. She's a great singer. She's a good performer.
She
like,
is.
She has everything it takes to be a main pop girl.
People almost don't want to like Camila Cabello.
Yeah.
I was thinking of this word the other day. I made up this word. I feel like Camila, correct me if you think I'm wrong, but I think Camila is in the PR sunken place. She has a dedicated group of haters.
Yeah.
She has had scandals in the past. What she did before when she was a child was wrong.
For sure.
She's apologized. She's came out and apologized very formally. She is in that PR sunken place where she'll never be fully adored by the public.
Yeah.
She gets to see the light of day. She gets to kind of like have her fans and have her moment, but she'll never fully be there.
And that's why it makes me so mad when people say that her relationship with Sean was PR, because if anything, I feel like that relationship made people like both of them less, which is sad. But I just remember there being like so many hate tweets about them. And like whenever there would be like paparazzi photos of them, like they would get so much hate.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what sort of started all of that.
For sure. People are looking for reasons to not like her. And I agree with the Sean thing. I think Sean is on the chopping block too.
Oh, absolutely.
For who is on their way out of this pop. Because he's a pop girl.
he's a diva.
It's giving share. So Sean's a pop girl. Sean's on the chopping block. If these next songs don't hit, if we were going to play like Celebrity Stock Market, who would you invest more in? Who do you think, if you had to guess from an objective standpoint, will Camila Cabello or Shawn Mendes survive longer in the pop world?
I'm not only saying this because like I'm biased towards Camila and that I'm a stan, but I think Camila, because I feel like sometimes like for main pop boys, it's like it's completely different.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally like, different playing field.
Because it's like they serve in completely different ways than the girls serve.
Totally.
The girls, they give us like visuals, choreo, but not all the guys are doing that. And so
they
kind of have to like, do you agree? Like they have to like,
they have to rely on the raw and just the raw talent of the songwriting and the standing there in their flannel playing the guitar like Ed Sheeran. They have to rely on that kind of stuff, where I guess the girls can rely more on the full package. And I guess one of the only female dominated industries is the pop world. So
pop music. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, not the whole industry, definitely not the whole
music industry
is female dominated, but the pop space.
Like, I'm thinking like dance, pop, like radio music, you know?
Yes. But I mean, and like the like industry will say that too. In the pop world, girls definitely have a leg up. I would agree Camila has a better chance to stick around longer just because I think people didn't like Sean and Camila for more of Sean. You know, when you're dating a nice guy and you get bored, so you break up with them. Mm-hmm. Sean was just a nice guy. No one was like looking what Sean was about to do next. We really never got statements from him or anything juicy going on. Yeah. He wasn't like the Justin Bieber who was like toxic, but so addictive to Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
You know, so I think people are just more innately interested in what spicy Camila is going to do next. Yeah. And her on a boat with Drake. So smart.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. People think that they have like a collab, which like that would, I think like if Camila, if she does it right, like and has like the right collabs, like she'll have a really good chance at like having a big era. And I'm excited for what she has, what she's doing next. But I think that girls, the pop girls in general, they do a better job at serving like different eras that are like, that you can distinguish from one another. Whereas the guys, a lot of them like release like the same music over and over again, like same album, same eras, like same like concept visuals. But the girls are always like switching it up, which I love.
Yeah, and that's the name of the game of pop. And I think Camila will play her cards right. And I definitely want to see her go far. So I'm excited to see if she will get the chop.
Yeah.
Don't fuck it up, Camila. I feel like I could picture like Camila and Sean being on stage on RuPaul's Drag Race and they have to lip sync for their life. And he's like, two queens stand before me, but only one is going to stay.
I'm excited though. I'm going to promote this shit out of Camila's music whenever like she announces it, when it's coming out. Like I will make sure that she is on the Billboard Hot 100.
Oh, same. I'll do it for free.
Top 20 at least.
Yeah. And if she doesn't get a Billboard in LA, I'll walk around naked and just paint and paint her songs on me with a speaker on my head.
We will give her the PR.
Yeah, no, she will not flop on our watch. Someone else on the chopping block, Lizzo, I would say, is on the chopping block.
Yeah, she got really lucky with About Damn Time.
I agree. It was, I mean, someone came out and said, someone I talked to at a party was like, that About Damn Time dance was contrived. Like, we planned that. That wasn't organic. Like, so it's smart.
Yeah, no, it's really smart because when she first released the song, it didn't really do well. It like didn't really chart high. It debuted at like number 50, then fell off after. And then the dance trend took off and it like became a number one hit, which like good for her. That song's like great. Agreed. And Lizzo makes bops. And I hope that she succeeds. But I would agree that she's like on the chopping block.
We were watching that like a hawk when it first came out because we love Lizzo. We want her to do good. And she's another one who is like, I'm not going to let Lizzo flop. I'm going to try to help her a lot. And
I'll give her the streams.
I went to her concert alone just because I wanted to support her because I like what she stands for. I like her message and I love her music. So I went to her concert alone. She will not flop on my watch. But right now, because of the bad PR and because of, I guess she's not coming off the most massive, what's the word? Like hype, I guess.
Yeah.
She did have hype from the last era, but nothing massive. She's not coming off a big acceleration. So I would say Lizzo's on the chopping block if she doesn't hit the next time.
You also posted something the other day about her like flopping on TikTok now.
Yes.
And then I looked at her page after that. I'm like, wait, this is crazy because like there was a time where like she was like so popular on TikTok. Like when she wasn't releasing any music, she was doing it like so smart. Like she was posting every day, like making sure that people were still tuned into her.
Yeah, which was so smart because that's the way to take off these days. Content like, is be organic. Good. Yeah.
But then when you posted that, I was like, shit, wait, I actually have not seen a Lizzo TikTok on my For You page in so long. And then I went to her page and saw that like her views were down. And I was like, damn, wait, what is going on here?
It was Floppiana, Flop
that's
City.
Crazy.
Her views were so low. And not to be an asshole, but like if you are Lizzo with multiple Grammys and platinum albums, like how do you have 20,000 views in a week? Like we who are just like Joe Schmoes out here like gabbing on TikTok who don't have Grammys and platinum albums, we get more than that. So it's like, what's happening to her? Why is no one watching Lizzo on TikTok anymore?
Because I enjoy her content. I feel like it's good. I love when she posts like food videos. Like,
yes.
I love like seeing her little routines. Like, I don't know. She's like fun to watch.
I loved her TikTok. I like to see her yeah. vegan foods that she was eating, her dances. She was like my Charli D'Amelio. So the fact that she's not getting views on TikTok, I like emailed my TikTok rep. I was like, give Lizzo views.
What's so, going on?
Yeah. So I don't know. Support Lizzo, but she's on the chopping block for sure in this whole pop world.
Give her, make sure to stream whenever she releases new music.
Last person on the chopping block as we wrap this part up, Lady Gaga.
Oh, wow. You think so?
She is being more of an actress, more of a music trend chaser for sure. I feel like dance pop had a resurgence in 2020, so that's why she did that. Yeah. Before that, she did the more stripped down Joanne. I just feel like the little monsters will always be there, but in terms of maintaining the status instead of becoming a legacy act, she's on the chopping block.
Yeah. I guess I would agree with that too, because Chromatica wasn't like a huge era. Like, Rain On Me was a big hit. Stupid Love, like, charted high, but wasn't, like, a huge hit. And then after Rain On Me, the era sort of, like, died down. So coming off of that era, I think that she would be considered on the chopping block. I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean, she's an actor.
But, yeah, she is. She does a great job at just remaining her icon. Like, keep making sure that she remains an icon, remains like a celebrity.
For sure.
She's obviously done so much to just impact pop culture, which is
true.
We just have to like thank her for that.
True. And I feel like she's always so theatrical, even though she was such a knockout at music. She could be a knockout at anything.
Yeah.
So good for you, Gaga. I want some more Gaga, just fierceness. I love the ferocity in her, her music. I love just that core Gaga where she was just going wild in the booth. So
yeah.
Gaga, we definitely want more of you, but we will see. We've lost a lot of pop girls and it's hard to get them back once they fall off.
Yeah.
I could go more, but we've lost a lot and now we've lost a lot. There's not a lot remaining. Who can carry this torch of the dying breed of pop girls? As the kingdom of the pop girls is coming crumbling down, there's only a few fighters left in the ring on the next episode of Pop Culture University. We're going to get into who can carry this torch into the next decade. Or is the idea of a main pop girl dead? Is pop music dead? So thank you for joining me today, students. We're going to get to that conclusion on this episode, but there was some scheduling issues with the studio, which is my fault. So next time we will do that. This episode was kind of getting long anyways, but students, I appreciate you. I love you for tuning in. Make sure to rate this podcast on Spotify, like it on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, leave a comment, share it. Definitely want to grow the video version on YouTube so that would help the algorithm so much. But yeah, that's all the notes I have for you today, students. I want to thank Adam the Flop for being our amazing guest.
Yes, thank you, Gorge, for having me. Much fun. I love like filming with you.
I know. I love having conversations like this about pop music. And luckily for y'all, me and Adam, we're bringing back our main Pop Boys podcast. This is our promotional tease for it. For more conversations just like this, go check us out on the main Pop Boys YouTube channel. You can watch our old episodes on Adam the Flop. And yeah, that'll be on Spotify and YouTube as well. But for all things pop music and stand-up conversations and to just like hear Stan Twitter in real life, go subscribe to that podcast.
Kitty Cooper.
Yes. All right, students. Well, class is dismissed. I love you all and I will see you next Tuesday.